I'd invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. And we're going to continue our study of Joseph and his father testing. Joseph struggled at the hands of his brothers. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. They were mean to him. They envied him. Joseph was one who had a dream. We think of it in terms of a dream. God revealed the future to his servants through dreams in the Old Testament, and visions as well. And it says that they hated Joseph because of his dreams and his words. And I related that to his dreams as to his doctrine, what God had revealed to him, and his words were his testimony about his dreams. And those of us who are anticipating ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming kingdom have a dream, or have a hope. It's really what it amounts to. The hope of a Christian is not salvation. That was given to us when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I don't hope that I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I have done what the Bible told me to do. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. But whether I will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom is yet to be determined. I know that we can live a long time being pleasing to our families and then do something in the latter part of our lives to offend them and be disinherited. I think every one of us have probably got a story or two about somebody that got disinherited because they didn't do the right thing. Well, you know what? That's the way it is in God's family. The Word of God teaches us that our inheritance is our reward based upon service. And as long as we continue faithfully in serving the Lord, we will have a reward. In fact, 2 John 8 tells us that we need to be diligent, that we lose not those things that we have gained through works, that we receive a full reward, to receive a full blessing. It's the servant who was fearful and hid his talent. He was saved, he was a servant, but he suffered the consequences of not being faithful. We all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. "You have been faithful over little. I will make you ruler over much." That's why I'm not discouraged, because we have little here at Grace Bible, though I consider it much. Because the Lord says, if I am faithful over the few things that God has given me to do, I can qualify to rule and reign with Him in the heavenlies in His kingdom. When you think of the little that Joseph had that God gave him the responsibility of, and when he took over became second in command in the whole nation of Egypt, you can see how God takes the little that we are faithful with and turns it into something that can be a blessing for us as well as for others. In the 39th chapter of Genesis, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." I see a double down in verse 1. Joseph went down into the pit when his brothers threw him in the pit. When they caught him out in the where the flock was and his brothers were, they threw him in a pit. And then it says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and it was emphasized he was brought down thither. And we know from the Scriptures in the New Testament, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." The way to be exalted in God's economy is to go down, to be last, to be least, not to be a big shot. You don't have to be a big shot to have pluses with God. In fact, God takes pleasure in us being last so that He can be first. And we need to take encouragement. We may not be well known, or we may not have a big ministry, but all of us who are saved have a ministry. Every one of us, whether it's to a mother or to our parents or whatever, or to children or whatever the ministry may be, we have one, and God has given it to us, and we need to be faithful to it. And we find in verse 2 that the Lord was with Joseph, and I think that we need to know that Joseph has already been tested because of the hatred and the ill will that his brothers had, and the way they treated him and sold him as a slave in chapter 37. But Joseph is headed for more trouble. And it looked pretty bright for a while, because he was really prospering in the house of Potiphar. And there was no one greater in the house of Potiphar than Joseph. I don't know why Joseph didn't pull rank over those fellows that she called in when Potiphar's wife screamed out. He could have dismissed them, but the Lord had His hand on Joseph, and He had plans for Joseph. But anyway, the Lord was with Joseph. In Genesis 26:28, it said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee." The Lord was with Isaac. And oftentimes we make the mistake of making our light shine. Joseph did not make his light shine. He let his light shine. He just lived for the Lord and let the Lord take care of the results. If the message got through, praise the Lord. It's a shame that when people force their light to shine and then they blow it, what a terrible testimony that is to the community. But God has promised us in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's what Joseph was learning. He was in the house of Potiphar, and he needed to be content with what he had. Joseph had character. Joseph had integrity. Joseph had a long face, and he was down in the mouth. No, I don't think that was the case. Joseph made the best he could out of a bad situation. And there are times today that people think that their rights have been violated, I've been being treated wrong. Well, obviously Joseph had these situations in his life, but he was determined to be the best slave that Potiphar ever had. And he was. And so the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord said He would never leave us nor forsake us. In Psalms 105, verses 17 through 21, it says that, "And He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet were hurt with fetters, and was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free, and he made him lord over his house and ruler of all his substance." But before Joseph could be the ruler of the house of Pharaoh and all of his substance, he had to be hurt with fetters of iron. The fetters of iron that Joseph endured put iron in his character. Now, Joseph knew what to do when he took over the land of Egypt. He didn't say humma humma. He called the shots. He knew how to take care of the prison. He knew how to take care of Potiphar's land. The Lord was with him. But I tell you, Joseph had to have the fetters of iron. He was hurt. It wasn't easy. And so he was tested grievously. We know that, or let me just say, what I think that helped him when it says here in Psalms 105, that until the time His word came. What was His word coming? What was that a reference to? I believe that is a reference to Genesis 37:8. "And his brother said unto him, Thou shalt indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. That was the word that came to Joseph that was going to come later. What sustained Joseph was the hope of ruling and reigning. God had told him by two dreams that he would rule and reign over his brethren. And I'll tell you, there was just looked like there was no chance that Joseph would ever rule and reign where he was. But you know, that sustained Joseph. I believe that was what sustained him. Because it says the word of the Lord tried him. Here was an 18-year-old boy that was solid in the word. He knew why he believed what he believed, and he could defend his position. And he could take the flack. He could take the persecution. He could take the hatred of his brothers in stride. And it helped him and it prepared him to endure what he went through in Potiphar's house as well as in prison, which we will look at next week. Joseph had learned from Abraham's dream, what God had told Abraham. Not only did he know that he would rule and reign over his brethren, but I think it's important for us to reflect on the fact that Joseph also knew some other things about the future. In Genesis 15, it says that, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, it says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Where do you think Joseph learned that about Abraham? I think he learned that in his home. I believe that his father taught him. And Joseph had a hope of one day being in the land flowing with milk and honey. In fact, Joseph gave counsel to the nation of Israel that when you go to be in the land, you take my bones with you. Joseph laid in a casket in somebody's house for 430 years, basically speaking, what it amounted to. And then in Genesis 50, verse 25, and it says, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. These things sustained Joseph in these trials. I don't think Joseph learned that after he became second in command in Pharaoh. I think he knew this when he went into the land. And God was trying Joseph to see whether or not he was going to believe that word that he had learned. In Genesis 39 and verse 3 it says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. We see that the Lord blessed Joseph, or made reference to blessing him, two other times. In verse 5, and it says, and it came to pass from the time that he made him an overseer in his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. The Lord blessed Joseph. The Lord made Joseph's light shine in the house of Potiphar. And in Matthew chapter 5, I made mention of it already, where it says, ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gave light unto all that are in the house. You think Joseph was under a bushel in Potiphar's house? He was on a candle. He was on a candle stand. Who put him on that candle stand? God put him on that candle stand. Why? He wanted Joseph to give light in whose house? Potiphar's house. Did Potiphar see the light? Yes, he did. Potiphar did. And so therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't have to make your light shine. And in reality, the Word of God says very plainly, I believe, that you can witness about the salvation message of Jesus Christ anytime. But when it comes to the dream or the hope of a Christian about ruling and reigning and ruling over your brothers, that is only to be responded to by those who ask you. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you for anyone who would ask you of that hope. Evangelism or the salvation message is not to be, you're not to wait for somebody to ask you. You can tell that any time. Of course, you want to be led of the Spirit too in that regard. But anyway, Joseph's light in the house of Potiphar was observed. In Genesis 39 in verse 12 it says, talking about Potiphar's wife, we see that Joseph fled and got him out of her, out of the house. I think it's interesting that there are two women in the Bible who don't really have a name. One of them is Lot's wife, and the other one is Potiphar's wife. I think that's significant for this reason. If they had a name, we would associate that temptation with that individual. Did you know that each of us have a Lot's wife in our life? Or the problem that Lot's wife had? And the problem that Potiphar's wife had? When you think about Judah, Judah had a Potiphar's wife in his life. You know who that was? Tamar. Judah had no problem. In fact, he was looking for a harlot. And he, of course, he didn't know it was Tamar that he went into, but Judah had no moral standards. Joseph didn't learn anything from his brother, Judah, because Joseph resisted. He refused to get involved with Potiphar's wife. And you know, there are, what happened to Lot's wife? Why, she looked back to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you know that there are things in our life that cause us to look back into the world? Our affections on things here in the world. Is that where Lot's wife's affections were? Yes, indeed. So we need to appreciate the fact that Potiphar's wife had to do with lust of the flesh. And Lot's wife had to do with the things that are pertaining to the world. Of course, that was her family was there. Her children, some of her children were there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So, but Joseph fled when he was tested. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "Flee also youthful lust, and follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." Joseph was a clean vessel unto the Lord. And he was not going to become defiled by an Egyptian woman. He ran. He left his coat. He came out of whatever it was that she had a hold of. We need to appreciate the fact that the lust of the flesh can make us a piece of bread. Can you? I was just trying to think of how much is one slice of bread? Well, if you went and ordered it in the restaurant, you probably pay quite a bit of money. But if you went down to a cafe, you could probably get a little cheaper. But can you just think the? In Proverbs 6:26, it says, "By means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." Nothing. Nothing. You know what I reflected on when I thought about a piece of bread? I thought about what Ishmael received as his inheritance. What did Ishmael receive as his inheritance? What did Abraham give him? He gave him a jug of water and a loaf of bread, and that's all he got. What did he give to his brother? All the rest of his wealth. What a difference. And Joseph could have become a piece of bread, and he would have not ruled and reigned over his brethren. Did you know that sexual immorality will disqualify you to rule and reign with Christ? That's just only one of the sins of the flesh. There are many, and you will find many of them in Galatians chapter 5, in Ephesians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 are all passages of Scripture that show you the things that will disqualify you from ruling and reigning. Being a drunkard will cause you to be disqualified. So, Joseph fled because he wanted to be pure. Hope purifies and helps us to keep ourselves clean. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, "And every man that hath his hope in Him purifies himself, even as he is pure." When we see the Lord Jesus Christ and His purity, and what He will be like when He will begin to rule and reign, our hope in our future, in ruling and reigning with Christ, will also cause us to purify ourselves, even as He is pure. I was thinking about Noah. Noah was perfect in his generation. The word "perfect" is a Hebrew word that means ceremonially clean. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." We've been over this before. And so the word "without blemish" and the word "perfect" are the same Hebrew word. And it means to be clean. No spots, no bumps, no uh-ohs, no closet skeletons and stuff like that. Now, Abraham was called to be clean in Genesis 17:1. "And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou without blemish." It's the same Hebrew word. In Psalms 119 and verse 80, "Let thy heart be sound." It's the same Hebrew word. Perfect. Without blemish. Let your heart be. What comes out of the heart? The issues of life. Your lifestyle. And "let thy heart be sound in thy statutes." Why? "That I be not ashamed." If your heart's not clean, if your heart's not sound, if your heart's not without blemish or with blemish, you will be ashamed. And you sure don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be ashamed. Proverbs 2, verse 21. "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." I'm sorry, I put down the word "perfect" with the word "upright." It should go with the word "perfect" in that verse. "The upright shall dwell in the land, and the sound and the perfect will remain in it." Now, what is the significance of that? Well, it's the next verse down. Verse 22. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it." This is talking about the land flowing with milk and honey. It's the upright that dwell in the land, and the one who is clean is going to stay there. Their inheritance is going to be there. They're going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. But it says the wicked shall be cut off from the land. In other words, it's the word "earth" is the same word for land. And the transgressor shall be rooted out. When I think about being rooted out, it means somebody that wants to stay, and that the snout of the old pig is just rooting him out. Pushing him out. Getting him out of the land. And that's what it's all about, to lose your inheritance, to be disinherited, to be rooted out. Now, the test of the flesh. "And it came to pass after these things," in Genesis 39:7, "that his master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me." One of the things that we can appreciate and need to appreciate is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed, lest he fall." I think Joseph appreciated the fact that he could have fallen. And we need to take heed to ourselves. You think you have your emotions and you're under control? Let me tell you, Satan knows where the chinks are in your armor, and he knows how to get in there and really hurt you. So we need to know that we are weak, lest we also fall. And this is where our confidence in the Lord is essential. We need to trust in the Lord. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it." I think, I think in our cars we have quick releases on the safety belts. I know we had them when we were flying, and when I was flying in the Navy, we had safety belts that we put on when we were flying. But all you had to do is just hit it with your hand, and you were out of it. There must have been a quick release on Joseph's coat. When Potiphar's wife grabbed it, he hit the release button and he was gone. You know, the Lord provides a quick release for us to escape from those who would grab us and cause us to stumble or to fall. God's not going to test you beyond your capability. And we need to thank Him for that. And we need to know that. You are never in a situation that you can't be released from. Now, we need to know that Christ is coming in glory. Joseph's day of glory was coming. We need to know that Jesus Christ's glory is coming, and we will share in His glory. In Matthew 16:27, it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." He will give every man his reward, his inheritance, if you please. The hope of a Christian is the hope of glory. I hope that I will share in the glory of our Lord and Savior's kingdom. That's my hope. Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." That can be frustrated. Let me just say this. There are people today that are teaching that the word hope in the Bible is a sure thing. Have you ever heard that before? I have. That is wrong. That is not good teaching. That is not good exegesis. Hope in the Bible is the same hope that you and I have today. What was it last week? I don't know how many millions of people were hoping. On Wednesday? What were they hoping for? That they'd win the lottery. Well, that's the same kind of hope that is in the Bible. It's not a sure thing. And so we need to know that. And that's the reason why the Word of the Lord is going to be tested in our life, and we need to know the Word of God, and we need to have our hope, and our hope is very sure in our thinking that we be not distracted to the immediate. Joseph did not sacrifice his future on the altar of the immediate, like Judah did, like Reuben did, like Simeon did, and others did in the Old Testament. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth testing. For when he is approved," when he passes the test, when he is approved, the word tried is the word that means approved, dokimos, "he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And the Lord said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Being obedient. Joseph was obedient. In Hebrews 6:18-19 tells us about the anchor of the soul. The anchor of the soul has to do with our emotions. Our soul is that which we are conscious of. Right now I'm communicating from my soul to your soul. The soul is what we experience in our relationship with each other. When we speak to ourselves on our bed, we're talking to our soul. Our spirit is something that is saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't commune with our spirit, but we do with our soul. And the hope is the anchor of the soul. It keeps us from being out of control. In Hebrews 6:18-19, it says, "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us." The hope that is set before us is the hope of glory. The hope of ruling and reigning with Christ, which we can lose, which we can forfeit. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into within the veil. What is that talking about? That's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." For what? For an inheritance, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is kept in heaven for us by faith. And let me tell you, you can make shipwreck of the faith. And when you make shipwreck of the faith, you start losing your inheritance. You don't lose your salvation. We're not talking about losing salvation at all. Once in the family, always in the family. You lose rewards. And right now, just being saved is important. But let me tell you, if you're in the family, God has something for you in the future. And it's going to cost us to get it. Paul told those in his missionary journeys, it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom. I don't want to just see the kingdom. I want to enter the kingdom. I want to rule and reign with Christ. And that's what Joseph's dream was. And that's what he talked about to his brethren. And that's what got him in trouble with them. May the Lord help us to be faithful and endure in these days. And when we pull on the anchor chain of our hope, which way does it pull us? Up. Pulls us up, because that's where He is in the end, within the veil. You pull on the anchor chain of hope, pulls you closer to the Lord, pulls you up. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just thank You, Lord, for the testimony of Joseph. What a faithful servant. We know, Lord, that all that he had, we have, and even more. We have his testimony, and he had no testimony. All of his brothers were lousy testimonies. His father wasn't much better. But Lord, we are thankful that Joseph learned and that he trusted you. And we can do the same thing. And we know, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us nor tempt us beyond our ability and our capacity. For truly, Lord, you desire for us to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And Lord, help us to consider the difficulties that we have as light affliction in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that will be ours in that day. Bless, Lord, the message to each of us, that we might be encouraged to be faithful to you as Joseph. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.